Finger with Greg T. Ross, and welcome to another episode of the Last Post Radio Show podcast series, where we speak with great Australians and learn a bit more about our own history. And today, we're blessed to have Abigail Farwell, coordinator of the World War II secret base in Charleville. And Charleville, of course, Abigail, is the largest town in southwest Queensland, around 10,000 people. Welcome to the Last Post Radio Show podcast, Abigail.
All right, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk all things military history and what we're doing out here in the outback.
Yeah, well, actually, it does say it, the World War II secret base, and it was that much of a secret, I didn't even know about it, and I didn't even know about it during my time in Charleville. What can you tell us a little bit about this, Abigail, of great interest to us all? It's, I guess, a strategic significance and what it actually meant for Australians during World War II.
Yeah, so a lot of people just haven't heard flat out about what Charleville was doing during World War II. But they actually had 3,500 US servicemen out here during that war period, particularly like peak time of 1943. Mm-hmm. Charleville's a pretty good spot to set up a top secret base. We are a little bit in the middle of nowhere, but it did mean it'd take an entire tank of fuel for those bombers to get here. So you could really monitor who was coming in and out. It was a pretty good spot to be.
Yeah, that's of interest too, Abigail, because really there's nowhere to hide, is there? I mean, you would be aware of anything coming.
Yeah, like they had, so we've got a meatworks out here and they used to stop the train at that site there and assess everybody who was coming in on that train before they actually entered the town. So you could really monitor who was here because the US had this on a land lease. So they kind of basically owned the Charleville area throughout their time here. And they were just operating a little bit of everything. Like if you were working within Australia and heard of the Charleville base, you knew it existed, but purely for kind of just maintenance of planes, training of servicemen. They'd bring in the US bombers here before sending them out to where they had to go. Mm. But you didn't know truly what was happening under the surface that was so important and why they had to be so serious on keeping the secret out here.
That's of interest too. And I was just thinking as a bit of a byline here, I do know I had to visit the Charleville Hospital during my time there when I got stung by a wasp. And it's an impressive hospital. It's yep. A big hospital. Would that be connected to the fact that there was World War II activity in Charleville?
So the hospital, it is really good quality for being out here. They were already doing upgrades to the hospital when the US came in. The military did help them build the second half of the hospital out here. But the hospital during that war period was mostly for tuberculosis patients because of the clearer air. So it actually set them up in tents all around so that way they could clear out their lungs for all the major injuries for US servicemen that actually fly them back into the coast.
Back to the World War II secret base there in Charleville. I guess one of the questions that arises, Abigail, is what type of activities and missions were conducted from the secret base during the war?
Yes, Charleville had a lot going on. A little bit of everything just because it was so central. So you've got different like air forces coming through. The 5th Air Force was the main kind of group that was stationed here. They were doing a lot of their main operations, but it would swap around. We had a group of Bristol bow fighters coming in through here. So that was very rare to see in what was American soil, those kind of British planes. Yeah. And then we have like more on the ground as well. My personal favorite that I tell everybody I can is the Winnell drivers. There was 12 of them stationed in Charleville. So they were the ones that would actually drive them, like drive the higher ups, the higher US servicemen, all the way to Townsville or all the way through to Cairns or back to Brisbane. And it was just the women driving them around because they were better on the cars. So they employed them to help out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was truly a mix, like B-17s in and out the door getting serviced. 20th Pursuit Squadron dropped by and that brought in 20 Kitty Hawks as they were traveling through to Darwin. We don't talk about the two that crashed here, but the rest of them got to Darwin in one piece.
Yeah, yeah. There must have been so much activity there. And I guess the question that arises from that too, Abigail, when you have a large influx of people from somewhere else in a certain confined area, what about the social impact and I guess the cultural differences? How did that all pan out?
Yeah, well, it's huge just to bring a whole group of American servicemen, 3,500 of them, and then plunk them into outback Queensland. there is a lot they need to adjust to, especially the language. You know, that Aussie slang was very difficult for them. So they'd actually give the US servicemen booklets to teach them the Aussie slang that was out here so they could actually understand each other.
Oh, is
a
that
bit
right?
Better. Oh, for sure.
That's
but it's, I mean, it's one of the bigger things during that war history, the Americans coming in, of how much of an impact they had on the town culture. Like, there were so many people here that all these rural businesses had a massive boost. So they were earning a lot more because they were feeding these servicemen.
Mm-hmm.
Their services were providing to the war. So it was a whole lot busier in Charleville back in the 40s than what it is today. The census during the war, there was 5,000 people in town that was helping and benefiting off of them being out here. And then now we're back down to 3,000. So it's a very different time, but these Americans would bring things like stick chewing gum, which nobody out here has seen before. Like, it was all just that pellet kind of gum that they had. So there was a lot of sharing back and forth of all these like little unique items that they'd brought out, and just learning more about what was actually happening in the US. It was a lot of it's a lot of exposure to the people that are in the outback and don't really see too much of what's happening in over in the US. So it was pretty fun for everybody when they were here.
Yeah, I bet too, Abigail. I guess what maybe even music influence too with the American music at that time quite big.
Oh, on the base, they built their own dance hall. Like, they were brought a little bit of US to the outback. They had their own dance hall. There was no band, so it was whoever could play would play. But they were doing jitterbug, jive, all the classics, and they were really having like American food with hamburgers and things like that. It was popular enough in Charleville, they actually had Gracie Fields out here and performing during her Australian tour.
Oh,
So
wow.
She performed at the Caroni's Pub, which is an iconic place in Charleville, that Caroni's Hotel.
Yeah.
She performed there one night, and not everybody could fit in the pub because it was the largest pub in Queensland, but still not everybody could fit. So they're all dancing in the streets, like listening to her performance.
Oh, what a
so
wonderful
was,
scene. What
it
a
was
wonderful
pretty interesting.
Scene to have Gracie Fields singing at the pub. That's amazing.
Yeah, in Charleville. Like.
So I guess when we talk about Charleville and we talk about people, the education through history and the importance of knowing more about our involvement and obviously interacting with the Americans during World War II, when people come up there, what can they expect to see when visiting the centre? You've got a couple of good things that are happening there regularly. And what actually, just give us a bit of a run through, Abigail.
Yeah, so what we do at the World War II secret base is we try to make it as interactive and something different when you're taking a look at that kind of military history out here. So we have our interactive exhibit, which we've just completed fully September last year and had our grand opening. So that's why we're still a bit of a secret. We're only just getting started. But we have the interactive exhibit, which is self-guided. So you get to walk through and we've got kind of like little mock-up buildings of what the tents were like the USS, we were sleeping in 6 men in one tent. We have a little mock-up of what that tent structure would have looked like, a little dining hall similar to what the mess hut would have been. So you get to actually walk through and kind of take a little bit of a step back into time as to what the base would have looked like.
Yeah.
And you get to learn along the way. So we have a lot of different, like there's reading material, but we've also got digital as well. So you can go in and have a mess around with the screens, and it's a little bit for everybody for the interactive exhibit. Probably our most popular thing that we have that has been going for quite a while is our tag along tour, which is where we've got one of our guides lead the way, and then you, the visitor, the guest, will actually follow behind in your own vehicle, like an old, you know, military convoy.
Oh, wow.
And we drive around to 6 of the original sites of the base that still have, you know, some of the structures left behind,
right,
and go a little bit more in depth as to how the base operated, what the Americans were doing. We do reveal the top secret at our final spot, and just get people really interested in actually going around to those sites and teaching them as you go along. It's pretty fun just to have a bit of an hour of driving around and learning a little bit about what's going on out here.
Yeah, what a great way to do it too. What a great way to do it, Abigail. I mean, it'd be like going back in time, I guess, too, and just actually feeling part of that whole experience.
Yeah, it's always a bit of fun. We have somebody coming out here and we get to drive them through the Mulga and step on those original sites and be like, yeah, this is how it was built. This is what it looked like. This is how many people are coming through. It's definitely something special about being there and seeing it that makes it easier to understand. So it's a really fun way for us to show what was going on.
Yeah, what a great educational tool. I do know There is a fascination with these bases. Those up in Da Nang in Vietnam, and you see the American base there that was used during World War, during the Vietnam War. And of course, over in Exmouth in WA, the history of that. But Charleville's got some really interesting things to show the public. And I guess, do you have, I mean, there must be a lot of interest from an educational point of view. It'd be great for the kids.
Yeah, like that's a huge thing. Like I'm pretty young myself. So for me, war history was a lot to learn very quickly. And it's, at first glance, very complicated. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to break it down and make it just as easy as possible to understand. So if you knew nothing but walk through the doors, you can walk out knowing everything you need to know. And mm-hmm. it's just easy to take in, especially with the kids. Like we have a few little areas throughout the base that it's like interactive, like filling up and building your own little bomb and having our bombing simulator in there. So actually get to have that little hands-on and a bit of a muck around while they're inside. So mm-hmm. it just makes it more approachable for them. And that's something that we're really happy to be doing out here, is just a little bit for everybody, from families to, you know, all of our older travelers that come through. We try to cater for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess also, what about yourself, Abigail? I mean, it must be a great learning thing for you too.
Oh yeah. It's been huge. I joke about it with my dad all the time, because he's an ex-serviceman. And as a kid, I would be the one that's crying and I don't want to go into the war museum. That's boring. I want to go to the zoo. And then now it's kind of being here, and after learning about it, it's been such a cool experience. I think there's something really fun about being in that space. It's kind of an area where people are more open to talk about their experiences. So I might just spend a day at the front desk and I'll learn all these different stories from people that walk in. And that just adds more context to what I know. Like when it comes to military history, you just never stop learning. Like there's always something else going on, and someone might mention something and then you spiral down, and then maybe that'll have a random link to Charleville, which will open us up to something else to learn about the base. So it's been pretty cool. I do really enjoy those days where you get to have a chat with people coming through and learn more from them, and where we get to teach them something they don't know. That's always really fun.
Yeah, that sounds great too. I mean, it keeps the wartime legacy alive, I guess, for different generations. And that's an important thing. But from your point of view, I guess this is self-evident, I guess, the answer for this, but like encouraging visitors, you know, to delve into Australia's military past, how important is that?
Oh, it's huge. Like we don't have those World War II veterans anymore, so they can't share their stories anymore. Not that majority of them are very open about sharing them to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking to your own family history, they're usually quite hesitant to share.
Yes.
So it's so important that we have these spaces to keep those stories going.
Mm-hmm.
And there is definitely, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important Australia was during the war and how much was actually going on. And even after World War II, how much was going on, how much it impacted Australia as a whole. So to have these spaces to go in and learn about it, it's just so important, so you can keep it going. And for me, like the biggest impact is that I get to, like when I drive to work, I'm driving on old World War II runways that used to have B-17s down them and Avros, and I'm just driving to work. And it's so cool to have that little extra context as to when you're traveling around, especially because we have so many people that drive out here to visit, that as they're driving home, they'll point out things like, oh, you know, that was a part of the base, or I wonder if this had something to do with the war history. I think that's why they're really cool. There's definitely a power of place and being somewhere when you learn something.
Yeah.
That's why I just love what we're doing at the base, to make it so easy for people to come in and learn about it. Because sometimes the classroom isn't the best way to learn something, but going out and having something more interactive is a good starting point.
Yeah, yeah, well said, Abigail. That's right. It is better to get out there and amongst it to learn sometimes. And the idea of actually driving to work on old runways is, that's sort of mind-boggling in itself. There's a movie in this, perhaps. That's lovely.
I'll romanticize my drive to work and see if I can make a documentary out of my 2-minute drive from home to back.
Fantastic. Well, I'd encourage anyone to get out to Charleville and have a look at the secret World War II bases. It's a magnificent opportunity to learn more about our history in World War II and Australia's role in Well, the allied effort, I guess, too. And Abigail Farrell, thank you so much. You're the coordinator there. It sounds like you've got a great job, and you're doing a great job also. And we thank you very much for your time here on the Last Post Radio Show podcast.
Thanks so much for having me and letting me talk about it all.